Our next guest requires no introduction, but he sure as hell deserves one.
Britt bursts through centre forward. Inspiring play by the Blues.
Patrick Cripps kicked the goal the Blues need. He can.
Cripps controlled it beautifully.
Paddy Cripps, as you said, Hamish, he looked at Marshall and said, "You're not going to tackle me."
Cripps, the skipper, onto the left. Outstanding.
P. Cripps. The 2022 Brownlow Medal is Patrick Cripps of the Carlton Football Club.
Please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour 2022 Brownlow Medalist, Patrick Cripps.
Yes, we do. We welcome Paddy Cripps to the Rush Hour on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. And Paddy, how's the last 48 hours been, mate? Because it's a whirlwind and I heard you were pretty good in the after party.
Yeah, it was, you don't get nights like this too often, so you got to make the most of them. But it was great. It was a great night. We had family over as well. So, the boys on the table all night were definitely having a good night. So once I got up, we made the most of it. And yesterday was a tough day, but it's all worth it.
What time did you pull up stumps? Because I saw you do an interview the next morning and you looked a little bit seedy.
Yeah, well, they started at 6. I didn't have much time. We ended up going pretty large, so I got to about 5 and I was like, I'm just going to stay up here and went through. But from 6 to 11, I'd interviews flat out, so yeah. I'm not going to lie, it's probably the longest 5 hours of my life.
Pat, was one of the great counts. Talk us through the last round. Were you confident of getting the 3 votes because it was that
losing
gut-wrenching game against Collingwood that you lost? You obviously had a great game, but how confident of you getting the 3 votes, or did you think it was going to be a tie in the end?
Yeah, it was. It's always unknown. I knew I had a good game. I was pretty lucky in the last game. There's a medal that got presented for the Peter Mac, so I won that. So I was in my head. I'd be like, it's going to be stiff if I don't get the 3 here. Yeah, but you never know on Brownlow night. And there's a few guys ahead of me. I think Took and Lockie were ahead of me. And when they didn't get a vote or it's only too clear, ideally it'd be nice to get the 2 and share with Lockie. He's a good mate of mine. But when I got called out, it was sort of. When I was up on the stage, it probably hit me. It's just like you're in front of the whole crowd. It's just, you see the brown line, it's like, far out, I've won this. So, it was cool, mate. It was an amazing sort of moment.
And you talk about that busy 5 hours with media after. Talk us through the embrace with your family, because I saw a little video today where you got to hug them and behind closed doors, and it just looked emotional. It looked raw. It was just a great moment.
Yeah, I said in my speech, sort of family's been the backbone of, you know, what you do. They were there. And I think the parents had been definitely tucked in for a few hours. They were well past my level, that's for sure. But
hydrated?
Yeah, they were very hydrated. But they've done so much for me over my journey. And you just realise in those moments, although I won the award, how much it actually impacts people around you. And mates back home and with my brother, older brothers back home, it's because the count was so thrilling. A lot of people sort of video at the moment, and some of the videos I've got through are absolutely hilarious. But when you watch back on that, it's pretty emotional.
Paddy, talk us about home. Northampton, which is just outside of, I think it's 3 hours outside of Perth, but talk us about your upbringing, and were you always a footballer? Were there other sports involved, and why are there so many good AFL players that come out of Northampton?
Small little town.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's we're only a town of 800 people, and anyone that's grown up in the country, they realise that, you know, footy clubs or sporting clubs are sort of the heartbeat of the town. So, all of us are really proud, but yeah, we've got a lot of players from there, and I played a lot of sports growing up, and I think that really helped. Played the winter sports and summer sports, but basically anything you could do to play with your mates, we did. And yeah, grew up there on a farm, just out of Northampton. So it's a special upbringing. Being on a farm, you grow up pretty quick. You get to do a lot of stuff outdoors. And my parents are both really active people, so I had a fair bit of fun growing up. And I was lucky enough to get opportunity to go to boarding school when I was 12. And that's a different challenge in itself. You sort of move out of home and go to the big smoke, and but then you realise when you get to Melbourne, mate, Perth's only a little country town as well. So I had a great upbringing.
Hey, talk us through, we touched on the Collingwood game last round, but looking back, you needed to only win one game of the last four. Now, some of the great teams that that win multiple premierships go through tough times. How was it after the week after that last loss? Because obviously, very disappointing.
Yeah, mate, it was pretty hollow. I suppose the build up to that last game, you know, 90,000. I've never played in a final, but you know, you talk to everyone that has a finals like atmosphere. With the Pies had to win to be top four as well. So, just chatting to a few people in footy, they sort of said it was sort of like a prelim final loss in a way. You sort of get so close, but you're not there. But the first week was tough, and you know, now it's sort of been a bit more time to sort of reflect it. It's sort of footy's got tough way of teaching you some tough lessons. So although we didn't quite get there, it just shows you we're not quite there yet. But, you know, those lessons we've learnt in the last few games when we're so close, you know, that only drives and motivates the group. But also a lot of stuff we've got to work on in the pre-season. So although we didn't get there, those last two games gives me a lot of confidence going into next year. What you can achieve when you see both those teams playing finals.
Hey, you mentioned there you haven't played a final. As captain now, sole captain, are you a big believer of, first of all, do you attend the grand final? And secondly, do you want your fellow teammates to go along and just say, you know, look at it and go, this is what we could do, or, you know, see the people that win it, the feeling they go through? Because as a player, I liked going to see that, even though I didn't get to do it in the end.
Yeah, I'll be lucky. I'll be going to the game for sure. I try and go to everyone I can. It's just it's an amazing day, but it's sort of like in a way where I suppose you watch the two best teams that year and how hard they are to get there, but I think just in the atmosphere and in a way sort of visualise yourself being out there in that moment and what you'd do. But I think a fair few of the guys are going this year. It's it'll be a cracker game. Obviously, the grand final hasn't been in Melbourne for a few years, so. No, I'll be there for sure. It's you know, you can't help but be jealous when you watch it, but at the same time, it does motivate you going into the next year.
Yeah, it's one of the great days. Hey, Paddy, talk us through your preseason, because you've been one of the elite players now for a number of seasons, but certainly at the start of this season, you just looked like you were moving a lot better than you have in the last few.
Yeah, no, I had a big off-season. I was lucky enough last year to get back to WA before COVID hit Melbourne again. And I was probably coming off the back of a couple of disappointing years for myself. Thought I was still playing decent footy, but I knew I could play better. And, you know, I was locked in and had a real detailed plan and was really determined to, you know, put as much work as I could. And you talk to anyone that's had a good year, they know the off-season sets up their pre-season. And then if you can get a clean run, you can carry a lot of momentum through. And I was lucky enough to do that and had a few games early in the year that, you know, played some really good footy and, you know, confidence levels got back up and, we're winning games of footy, which, you know, we started here, I think, 8-2, and since I've been in the club, we've never been in that position. So it was just good fun, and I just had a lot of fun playing footy this year, mate, and, that's what you do it for.
Hey, Paddy, 9 years on the list now. How many coaches have you actually had, and what separates Vossi from the rest?
I think I've had five now in terms of with JB, Johnny Barker took over as the interim. I don't know. Like, I don't really like comparing, but what I loved about Vossi is just his relationships. And I think he, the coaches, you know, he has around him, he's so good at empowering them and allowing them to really coach to their strengths. And I think if you look at a lot of the players this year, not only myself, but I reckon a lot of players in our team had career best years. And I think when you get a new coach in, a lot of players get a new lease of life, especially, I suppose, guys on the borderline of the 22. You know, the previous sort of history can get a fresh start, so their motivation levels go up. And we had a lot of guys play some really good footy this year. And I think as a coach, in terms of our game plan, he gave everyone a role that really tried to maximise their strengths. And I saw a lot of players this year just, you know, enjoy their footy and play some really good footy that maximise their strengths. So that's what he's done really well. And I suppose that's the exciting part going into next year. Last year, you know, we're coming from a base where we had a whole new coaching group and a tough year before, where this year, although we had a tough year result-wise, we gained a lot of traction and we're coming from a really much higher base. So, yeah, as much as watching the grand final the weekend will be tough, I can't wait to actually get stuck in again.
Hey, I loved your speech on the night, completely brilliant. Off the cuff. Even my wife, who doesn't know a lot about AFL, said, I love this guy, the way he talks. But talk us through your relationship with the media, because you remind me of a young Jason Gillespie, who played a lot of cricket for Australia, but he was very shy early and refused to do media, and you were pretty much the same.
Yeah, I was shocking in the early days. I was my first few years. You go from, you know, being a country kid to, you know, all of a sudden you get a kick and you got to start doing media. So you're underprepared in a way. But I probably definitely battled early days, and I had to go and seek a bit of help just in terms of calm my nerves. It just came out that my nerves were sort of impacting my speech, and then you start overthinking it. But once I got that under control and did a lot of sort of work on it, I actually really enjoy it now. It's sort of I suppose on the Brownlow night, it's when you get up there and speak and you look back on it, it's sort of I suppose a bit of reward for hard work in terms of, you know, I actually got up there on the night and actually spoke all right.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, nailed it.
If that was 5 or 6 years ago, boys, I'd have been sculling my champagne.
I can't believe that you can't talk. You're talking so well now. Yeah. You nailed it Sunday night. I just can't believe you were actually in that position. But I need to put something to bed, because a lot of people have been asking, they must have known. You must have known you're going to win it. You come back from overseas and you had your mum next to you. But I believe that wasn't your mum.
Nah, that was Harry McKay's mum.
Oh, it was Harry. Everyone's going, oh, his mum's there as well.
Yeah, so she probably started. She was lucky she was there, actually, because about halfway through the count, we had a pretty fun table and we were definitely on our way. And round one, I thought I was a lock for the three votes. I only got one. So I was like, all right, boys, I think I'm out of this already. And then we had a few. And then we got about halfway through the count. And Tracy McKay, Harry's mum, said, all right, time to have a few waters here, I reckon. And then I reckon about 4 rounds to go, I scaled about 3 in a minute because I had a chance. So, she's probably the one to take the credit for the speech.
Yeah, the chaperone, Harry McKay's mum.
Hate to know how many media interviews you've done, so we really appreciate your time. What's next, Paddy? What are your next sort of 3-4 weeks hold?
Yeah, well, this week's obviously pretty busy now, but it's sort of one of those ones.
You
lap it up. If you can't play in the grand final, you might as well make the most of it.
So, exactly.
I'll hang around Melbourne for the next 2 weeks, and then I'm actually heading off to America with a few schoolmates back home. So I had a family trip with my partner and my family to Europe just recently. That was more of a spontaneous one. I had a cousin's wedding, but when we got knocked out, I thought I'd get out of here for a bit. But I've got a few of my best mates from school. We're doing a month in America. So it'd be nice to get out and get out of the Melbourne bubble for a bit and have a bit of fun.
Thanks very much for joining us, Paddy. We really appreciate it. Obviously, a busy schedule since you winning on Sunday night. So we really appreciate it, mate.
Nice. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks, heaps.
Well done, Paddy.
Paddy Cripps.
Legend.
This is the Rush Hour.
Great bloke.